it's time for our local hero report here on WRSI and WHMP. I'm Bob Flaherty, along with Phil Corman, the executive director for CESA, the community involved in sustaining agriculture. And our special guest today is Glenroy Buchanan of the Pioneer Valley New England Growers Co-op. Which, your story, this is all emanated in Jamaica?
Usually in Jamaica, they don't necessarily call it a farm. It's your yard. We had a coconut tree, a banana tree, papaya tree. Everyone basically raised their own chickens and whatever else kind of meat you had, you raised it right in your yard. But it was also in the middle of what we would consider like the inner city. And then maybe a mile away from that, we'd consider the country. We didn't have a cow, so we had to wait three times a week when the guy that brought fresh milk would come and drop it off.
The kind of things that you took for granted here, not the easiest sell in the world to bring that to the Pioneer Valley, right?
Exactly. But first, when I came here, kids were talking about, like, where does chicken come from, you know, stuff like that, because everything was in the supermarket prepackaged. So it was more of a different type acculturated to your culture or to farming itself.
So you first approached a farmer in Hadley about your idea. So talk about that.
I was living within the community of where a lot of the farm workers who were migrant seasonal workers would come. And one of the guys one day approached me and says, we don't necessarily grow these things on our farm, but yet we got to go to the store and buy them when we have all the necessary skill to grow them ourselves. And then said to me, I wonder if we could get some farmland to use from the guys we work from. And they were like, nah, man, they're not going to let us use your land to grow our food on it. You know, I said, well, have you asked? And they were like, they gave me the same answer. So I took it upon myself to go and ask one of the farmers. I says, you know, your guys want a piece of land to grow some hot peppers and callaloo and some pumpkins and stuff like that that was germane to their culture. The guy didn't even blink. He says, what are they looking for? They're looking for an acre, 2 acres? He says, I got the land. I says, they all know how to drive the tractor. You know, they know how to do everything. So it's not an issue and they can do it after work and then on the weekends when they're not working. So that's kind of like how it got started.
And you have a special arrangement with the growers, and then you pick up the food and you distribute it to
the markets. Yeah, that's how I started going to market. Someone from Holyoke asking them if they could come up and sell corn at the market. And he was like, well, I like the farming thing, but if I can find someone to do it for me, you know, I certainly would send my corn up there. So he asked me, and I didn't know anything about farmer's market because I'd never really been to a farmer's market. Amherst was still developing. The first market gave me like around 18 bags of corn, and they sold out. And so I started doing that for him. And then after a while, people were asking, do you have any tomatoes or this? And I said, well, there's guys that plant that stuff. I can bring them if you'd like. They just had that internal thing that they're doing something that was productive, and they were making a little money, and they were happy at that. So that's kind of how we got started.
I see, Phil, you've already started in on the cherry tomatoes.
Green peppers that are the size of a softball, beautiful. And there's some amazing tomatoes, different colors.
The heirloom tomatoes.
Yes.
And some corn, fresh picked this morning.
Yeah. So, you know, when I think, Glenroy, of just someone who moves through the world always bringing food with you wherever you go.
I grew up not necessarily not having food, because my grandmother used to run a restaurant. She was a very, very good cook. She could probably cut up one of these chairs in this room and cook it, and we all would eat it. You know, she was a very good cook. And so I grew up around good food. People come to my grandmother and ask her if they had a little food that she could give them. And if she had it, she would give it. She never questioned them or nothing. She just would give it. When I was around here, I saw that the farmers were very, very willing to give away food that they had too much of. And so a lot of them would say to me, if you want to use your truck and pick it up and take it up there, it's fine with us, no problem. So I says, okay. And sometimes I go down to Springfield or Holyoke and just drop it off. It wasn't an effort. It was just knowing that there are people who really need to have the food. And it's not because they were lazy. They didn't want to go to work. Some of them just hit hard times. Some people might have gotten laid off the job or job closed or something like that. And they still had families to feed. So I didn't think it was a big deal. Sometimes I can remember putting in more than 600 miles per week on my truck.
One time, you were actually running like 3 or 4 farmers markets through Hampden Bank. So I'm kind of curious, Glenroy, if you could share a little bit what you have seen change over the years in the valley around the local food system.
I think people don't take it for granted anymore. They see it as a necessity. When people started to look at food and what makes food good, the quicker you get it to yourself or on your table, the more the nutritional values you're going to have to that food. We never grew potatoes in Jamaica, but the first time I ever ate a potato, the farmer farmer actually told me that once the leaves dry off and they fall down, you can actually go out and pick up all the potatoes under that particular vine, and it'd be like 10 or 12 or 15 of them. And from the time I did that to when I took it home and washed them off and cooked them, put some butter in there, must have been about 35, 40 minutes, and they were so delicious. I think that's what people were seeing. A lot of people never went into a field and picked the corn and then ate the corn raw. It's actually edible like that, right off the vine. You ought to try it. It's really, really delicious. You know, and if you did that, then you'd question when corn comes to you from 5,000-6,000 miles away. You start to understand there's a difference in quality and taste.
Why does my belly growl through every one of these segments, Phil? Now, one of the places that you distribute these to would be Mason Square, one of the poorest sections in Springfield. In fact, that's where Monty, when he does his March for Hunger, and that's where it starts, in Mason Square. So they see you coming, they know who you are. You're like a Jamaican Santa Claus, right?
Yeah, kind of like that. We have a problem in Jamaica, though, talking about Santa Claus, because there's no snow there, so we can't explain the reindeers and all that. We kind of put that to the side. But right. anyway, in Springfield, I started off bringing stuff up to the Martin Luther King Center. Then I would go down across the courthouse, bringing up on Chestnut Street to the homeless shelter place. It's not a problem. My thing is that I've never really thought about reaching out and getting like a grant or stuff like that. A lot of what I do come out of my own pocket, like gasoline, you know, going back and forth. I'm not a rich person, but I think I'm very rich in terms of social values and social responsibility, but not necessarily capital. So sometimes I put a strain on my own pocket because I have to, you know, try.
Glenroy Buchanan is our guest today, our local hero who started the Pioneer Valley New England Growers Co-op in 1988.
You know, your life has ranged from beginnings in Jamaica to going through the Springfield Public Schools and being a good high school wrestler to, at one point, being a bodyguard for the Dalai Lama, among other notable things. And you just mentioned to me that you had a conversation for an hour with Taj Mahal.
You could be my bodyguard anytime. And I need one. What's coming up? You have an event here that has to do with the UMass. Of course, it started out as Mass Aggie Agricultural School, the 100th year, is it?
And this has grown into one of the programs now that's ranked like in the top 7th in the world, first or second internationally. They really have a superior program over there that a lot of people don't necessarily know about. It's their 100th anniversary. Taj Mahal, people might not know this, but he graduated from Stockbridge.
Sure.
Kind of like hard to put a Grammy winner in the same category as being a farmer. So that was one of the specialties. So they want him to come back for the anniversary, and he's decided he would come.
Cease is a pup. We've only been around for 25 years.
Glenroy Buchanan, thanks for coming in this morning. And Phil from CESA.
Thank you.
And buylocalfood.org, right?
That's it.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Glenroy.
Thank you.